With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of the Bohemican Podcast, as well as the History of Alchemy Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Coleman, joined by...
Travis Dow.
Hi, Travis.
Hi.
We're doing cross-continental podcasting tonight. I'm actually podcasting from Prague in the Czech Republic, and Travis, you are in Santa Clara, California. Mm-hmm. And this is a special occasion. This is our five-year anniversary for both our shows, the Bohemican Podcast and the History of Alchemy.
I feel like over the last 5 years, we've really drifted apart, Pete. I remember when we were sitting right next to each other.
This is sad. It's about 11 p.m. here, my time. And what time is it there for you?
2 p.m. on a Saturday.
it's some time differences that we have to deal with these days. But the show does go on. And I should actually say that more of a plural aspect, because the shows do go on. We have actually expanded our network, our empire, as you like to call it, the podcastnik empire, with a plethora of shows that go beyond just the Bohemican Podcast and History of Alchemy. Travis, what are we doing these days, buddy?
We've moved out of the garage in Prague and have taken on the world. Well, parts. But no, some people might be confused.
You sound like a James Bond villain when you say that, by the way.
And we have taken over a big piece of Central Europe. Now, so some people might actually be confused if they're listening to this, thinking, wait a minute, I'm clearly listening to the History of Germany podcast. Why did you just say Alchemy and Bohemican? Or perhaps the Secret Cabinet, or maybe even Africa, a history. And there's others. If you speak German, there's Americana für euch, which is a show about the U.S., which has some 118 episodes that you'll never hear, dear listener, if you don't speak German. So yes, we've been very busy. In fact, I don't know if we'll make some announcement here on our Arabic podcast, but we also have a History of Germany in Arabic, which I was now informed that I'm saying it incorrectly when I try to pronounce Tarikh Alemania. I don't know. But Imad gave me some crap for that. But we have a translator who's a Syrian refugee in Cairo diligently translating our show from English to Arabic he pitched the idea to me, and it was to the audience is Syrian refugees in Germany to kind of figure out where they are and just learn more about the history and culture of the peoples that surround them. And I thought that was a brilliant idea. And so we do that now too. I mean, it's been a long 5 years. Oh, let me summarize it another way. Cause I just did the math. The last 5 years, you and me together have put out 430 plus episodes, which means that's an average of an episode every three or four days, something like that. It's more than one a week, obviously, if you do the math. Yeah. So yeah, if that surprises you, please do swing by podcastnik.com and have another look-see around of what we do and all that stuff. But oh yeah, we've been busy.
Since we're talking about numbers, let's drop some numbers on listenership, because we've had a nice little benchmark number of how many listens our podcasts have been able to be marked at. And what number are we at right now, buddy?
Okay, I don't have the latest, but I know at some point in the last year we hit the 2 million milestone. History of Germany reached the 1 million milestone a while ago. But yeah, well over a million. It reached that milestone in last year, 2017. Even So Bohemican is somewhere around half a million from both hosters, and Alchemy has reached the half. Like, that's really, those are really niche shows, and we thank you so much. A half, like, that's something we never thought. We were like, oh, I wonder if we'll ever reach six figures. Oh yeah, we just moved right along after year one or two, and now we're at, you know, Bohemican is at half million. Alchemy is somewhere in there, maybe even, you know, closer on like 700,000 or something. Alchemy, it's one that's only six episodes are out. There will be, we're actually going to record for it sometime this week, me and a guest, but there's, you know, it's still, I would say, our minimum on a bad month, we make 50,000 downloads a month. Is this where we say that we're looking for sponsors? I just want to point out that we have had sponsors. We do accept sponsorship for certain. And that's been working out. And some people might not know exactly how that works. Like, how do you get how do we get our ad on a podcast? And is it even worth it? And we're glad you asked, because, oh yeah, for bang for your buck, podcasts are one of the underutilized things that you could be doing as far as ad revenue. History of Germany, every time we open our mouths and do a History of Germany episode, Judit and myself, we speak to half a stadium. We have 25,000 listeners on a good day, but at least, you know, I don't know how many subscribers, 10,000 subscribers, but on a good day, it's like 25,000 people hear us. So would you like your message out to a half a stadium or a smallish stadium of people every episode? Then yes, you should be advertising with us, of course. I mean, 50,000. Yeah, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. If you don't know how to do that, reach out to our hoster, acast.com or Agora Podcast Networks. We organize some of the stuff as a network, so you can get millions of downloads a month. I don't know if I can promise that, but yeah, definitely like hundreds of thousands of downloads a month. If you, sponsors can choose. I want this many downloads period, or I'll pay you this much per download for this much time. Or I give you nothing. You say a code on your podcast and that gives people a discount. And then we give you money based on what, you know, actual turnaround. But otherwise, I don't really care about the numbers, other than we are trying to like make this pay for itself. I mean, there's expenses involved. We, not just time, but there's real money. There's thousands of dollars that have gone out now from our wallets. And so I don't care about, we would do this for three people. We do a free show and we do this because we love it. We've said this. We were shocked when we had 30 listeners. A couple months ago, I had 30 people in a room while I was on stage. You know, it's just weird. But yeah, I don't care about numbers. The reason I'm saying all this is advertisers do care about numbers, and we do care about sponsors because we're trying to make this happen. We both have full-time jobs. So yeah, thanks. Thanks for asking, Pete. I'm glad you went there.
And the other thing too is, you know, not just that people don't want to advertise for businesses or things that they like to talk about, but also the folks that just give us donations to our PayPal accounts, you know, through our websites. Big thank you to everybody for that have been able to, you know, donate what they can here and there. And we're all very happy to take what you can do, because it does help us out, you know, to be able to run the podcasts and the domain names and the microphones and
There's actually one thing I can say there real quick about donations. We have a Patreon page and it's about to change. If you go there right now, you're going to get a good deal on stickers. So we have like, you sign up, you give us like $1 a month, but that's another. Yeah. You know what? If 10% of our listeners gave us $1 a month, that would be more than my Silicon Valley salary. And, you know, two of three of us could instantly quit our jobs and just do this full time and probably create 10 times more content, you know, 5 times more content for sure, conservatively estimating. You know, think about it, full time job, you know, if we could just do this full time. Now, the thing is, yeah, only if just 10% of you gave us $1 a month, if 5% of you gave us $5 a month, we'd be laughing. We wouldn't even know what to do with the money, honestly. If a couple of you just pitched in like $10 a month, you know, that's all we need. Now, the thing is that we do have PayPal set up and there's some tiers and it's about to change, and it might not be for the better. So if you want those, if you want a better deal on like really high quality vinyl stickers that we've had a graphic designer, they don't, like Pete and I don't make these. There's professionals that make our stuff. And so they're therefore very awesome. Like we got alchemy stuff. We got homunculus in a bottle. We got the Golem of Prague. And you just have to see it to see it. What? And yeah, if you sign up right now on Patreon, you actually get stuff for donating. Like every 6 months, I'll look at the list and I personally will go to the post office and send you guys stickers and all that stuff. And I'll be happy to do it. Oh my good. Like, thank you so much for supporting us. And that's, you know, the best thing. We've mentioned we have a shop too, and you could just buy stuff where we make a little margin of profit, tiny. It's all, you know, what does help us is if you buy our books, Amazon is really generous with royalties, and we actually do see a good, like 70% of that goes to us. Curious Czech Christmas or the Amazon booklet or the Alchemy booklet, as it's actually known as. But yeah, we have a shop that you could search for. Pete curates. Oh, so Pete is our star curator right now. We got like three people curating stuff for the shop, and we have our own collection, like our own house brand. Like it's a shop. And yeah, you just, you know, go to podcastnik.com to look for the announcements on all, you know, how to support us and all that stuff. The shop's not hard to find. It's, you know, podcastnikshop.com. But yeah, you just, I don't want to give you spoilers. Like we found some replicas of like old medieval coins from, so it's like, okay, if you're a coin collector and you want like a Holy Roman Empire coin or a coin from like Charles IV of Bohemia, like there's nerdy stuff on there. It's stuff that Pete and I picked out, and you picked out the nice stuff. So there's also nice stuff, but there's also like, like hockey jerseys from Czechoslovakia. We're having fun trying to turn this into a business. Right now, it's not paying for itself. But yes, we do have PayPal and Patreon. If you go to podcastlink.com, bohemican.com, you know, there's, if you want to help us out, of course, you can. If you don't have money, you can still help us out. If you give us a five star rating and a review on iTunes, enough of those, and we get into the charts, even just like one or two, it really bumps us up compared to our competitors, quote unquote. They're all our friends, history podcasters, but that bumps us up in the charts. Then people find us without like word of mouth, people just browsing, like searching for history podcast. They'll find Bohemican and History of Alchemy and History of Germany better. We'll rise to the top of those search results. That's based off of iTunes reviews and, you know, five star ratings. And, boy, I'm really begging for your support right now. I know I'm going through a lot, but if you don't have money, yeah, you could, you know, how bad is iTunes? You just go find the show, click five stars, write a review.
I think we have so many things in the works right now, and we're kind of trying to monetize where we need to.
Why are we even doing this? Why are we even asking for money? Why should they care?
We got huge plans. We have got a couple big shows that are coming out. We don't want to give you too much information. We want them to be more of a surprise when they do come out.
Yeah. But audio is shot. Video is shot for some of these. Like it's absolutely just there. We just need time to edit for some of these.
Yeah. That takes us a little bit into other options besides the audio versions of what we have, which is our YouTube channel. And we'd love to have more of you stop by our YouTube channel. A lot of mail that I've received lately has been, you know, you haven't really published, Pete, since early November of 2017. You know, are you guys wrapping up? I'm like, oh, no, we're not wrapping up. We're still doing audio shows. But I put a lot of attention in the past 3 months in our YouTube channel that was kind of hanging in there for a while.
I think, that have looked at the YouTube channel before, the Bohemican one, in this case, there's a couple. I think they're all linked to each other. If you go to Podcastnik YouTube channel, there's a link to the Bohemican YouTube channel and vice versa. But if you go to the Bohemican YouTube channel, look at the latest video. So I think that is like television documentary worthy, if I do say so myself. Like maybe, okay, we could have done a second take here or there. But we go to Hoska, which is a very haunted castle, the most haunted castle of Bohemia. It's the castle that we did a show on it. It's the castle that's built inside out. So we went back there a couple months ago and shot video there so we could show you. And then we talked around it, did voiceover. And we went to Sedlitz, the bone church in Hoska, which you might have seen like Google images of. But we went down there with a camera and did stand up there. And if I do say so myself, like, it's television worthy, like it's good. And it's only a 10-minute video, both of them together. Each one's like 5 minutes. You know, we try to keep it snappy. But yeah, even if you have been by the Bohemian YouTube channel, check it out again, because we're getting better all the time as time allows. But yeah, that's a good one. So, you know, as time allows really is the bottom line. Like, we're trying, we got tons of ideas for episodes and shows for the future and video and all that. It's how much you allow us to do.
Some of the shows on YouTube we put in this fall going into the winter were the Battle of Bila Hora. I took my son on a flight over Central Bohemia for a flight sightseeing tour. That's documented. You'll see a little bit of my co-working with my daughter on her genealogy, dealing with the Czech Legion. Her great-grandfather her great-great-grandfather, rather, was a Czech Legionnaire, an officer. And so you'll see a video teaser for that. That particularly is the long-awaited audio version that's being worked on as we
speak. We talked about that, I think, 4 years ago. Like, as soon as we talked about Bohemic and we were like, oh, wait for the Czech Legion episode. Like, we can't wait to tell you. We did it right. We did our homework and we found photos. Pete's been finding people to interview. Like, it's been 4 years in the making. And yeah, like, that's coming, people, finally.
Finish line in a few weeks. So those are some goodness. Great things. Yeah. And part of it's going to be in Czech. So if you do speak the Czech language, my daughter will be doing a short version of what she found out in Czech. The English version of the Czech Legionnaires, called Homeward Bound is the name of the show. We'll have a little bit of back and forth with my daughter about what she's found about her particular familiar history with her great-great-grandfather. The letters that we found, the family legends that were debunked. that was interesting. And it really made the story come together, really, in a lot of ways, of the horrors of World War I for the Czech Legionnaires trying to escape out of a very tenuous situation in Russia right after the revolution. That knocked them out of World War I. So very, very interesting story, and we're going to be giving you that information coming through. As we were talking about before, we have some great new shows that are coming out that are new programs, rather, that we can only basically say are the tiny acorns that fell from the great oaks of the Bohemian podcast and the History of Alchemy. Because without those two foundational shows, the first shows that we put together, there really wouldn't be a podcasting network or any of the various shows that I'm sure you're going to love in 2018. And another thing too, I want to drop at least a name or two. We have several what I like to call power listeners that have been with us from the very beginning, starting 5 years ago. And one is a great lady, Sylvie B is her name, from Australia. And she's got Czech blood connections as well. In her family, there were some people that left Czechoslovakia as refugees and settled in Australia. And she listens to the show, and I've got a chance to IM her a few times and ask her what she liked about the program. And she liked having the connection that that was kind of hard to get a hold of being on the other side of the planet. So that makes me feel really good. And we have a T-shirt coming out to you, by the way, Sylvie. It's on its way from our podcasting network headquarters in California, i.e. Travis's basement.
We'll make it. We'll make it. Yeah, I'll get shirts out. I got a couple of people I got to send shirts to.
It's coming. And we got people in North Dakota, for crying out loud, that listen to us. Again, people that have got great.
That reminds me. If you guys are Czech Americans, I don't want to interrupt. Remember that person's name. But if you guys are Czech Americans, if you hang out on the Facebook group that's called Bohemians in America, all caps,
right.
I believe. Right. Mention a link to our show now and then, because it's like a conflict of interest for us to do it, but. There's posts like, oh, we got this recipe or this, that. And I'm like, oh, we did an episode on Czech food. We did an episode on Czech beer. We did an episode on Czech festivals, on bagpipe festivals of Strakonice, of this and that, and all kinds of stuff. But if we post it, it's kind of like spam because it's our own conflict of interest. But they would love it. Every time Christmas comes around, I'm like, oh, I wish they knew about the Czech Curious Christmas book, because they would just lose their minds. But But I'm just like, nah, that's too spammy. That's too, you know, but honestly, like if you guys are part of that group, geez, help us out. You know, we know that they exist. We love you. And by the way, you're in our feed all the time. Like if you're somebody from that group is listening, like, yes, you know, we're part of the Bohemians in America group and would love to be more interactive, but we don't want to be like the spammy guys that just talk about bohemican.com.
Well, another great sort of connection. I was talking to one of our listeners, and that's one thing I really try to do. If you send us a message on bohemican.com, I really try to do my best to get to every one of your messages because we really appreciate your listenership. And one particular person, Amanda from Oxbow, Saskatchewan, one of our great Canadian listeners, she's been listening to the program on and off and trying to get into the YouTube channel as well and see what we've got. Her connection is about genealogy. She wants to find out more about her people that have come from Bohemia, Moravia, to the New World, basically to Canada. And so I asked her, it's like, what would you like to hear as far as a new show? And she said, do something about how to find out information with Ancestry.
You know, that's I got similar requests. One just a couple days ago from the Germany podcast. That's actually a pretty good one. This guy was telling me, like, I know we go, you know, I can trace it back to the Knights, the Teutonic Order, like 1200s Prussia kind of thing. And he's like, where? And I'm like, I don't know. Do you know where, you know, if you know, it's just kind of like, okay, go look up the baptismal records and this and that. But if we, I mean, you've done it. So again, if we just kind of documented the steps you've done and kind of give you an example of where to go look, like where you went to Lair and, you know, started researching Coleman's and related families, you know, we can kind of backtrack that. And yeah, that, there would be a lot of interest on the history of Germany side as well, looking for your old European ancestors.
Yeah, absolutely. If you ever start getting into genealogy, and I started about 20 years ago as a younger man.
I've done that too, but all my family's in Scotland, so it's not relevant to podcasting. But I'm totally into that. If you live in the Lake Lomond area of Scotland, you probably know a Dow.
So that's something that we can definitely do. And you know, and Travis, you mentioned about alchemy. You know, we've had somewhat of a hiatus on the alchemy show, but there's always something new coming around about alchemy because there's kind of splinter groups that we sort of touch upon, but we really kind of went after the real meat and potatoes of alchemy and alchemical reactions and basically the forerunners to what we know as chemistry today. So what are you going to be actually talking about in your next show, Trav, when it comes to alchemy?
Yeah, so alchemy, the history of alchemy is not over. And people probably have heard that a bunch and people are probably tired of hearing it, but it's true. I am currently reading books for alchemy still. You guys have to remember that nothing has changed 6 years ago before I started podcasting. One of my hobbies was reading about the history of alchemy. That's what's going on here, people. Like, that's who I am. So I still read about alchemy and I still put all that stuff on thehistoryofalchemy.com and I'm creating outlines for future shows. A lot of them is from the Jewish Alchemist's book by Ralph Patel. So I've kind of broken that up into specific alchemists. And I'm looking for more stuff on some of them. Like some of them, he just kind of mentions one aspect of them or mentions them in passing. And I'm trying to get more information. And these are alchemists that are not on Wikipedia because they're a bit more lesser known, but not like lesser important. Like we to show the path from, you know, Alexandria to Prague and Paris, over 1400 years later, we have to mention some of these people. They're critical. So that's coming. And then just like some general ideas around alchemy, maybe more of the methods. I would love to get into this is some of the things that are happening right now. There's professors out there trying to do alchemical experiments, you know, in a lab to see what they were actually talking about and then write that down in just regular modern chemical reaction terms. And I would love to learn more about that and kind of give some examples of that on the show. I have a book on just what some of the alchemical symbols mean, which we've used that as a source before now and then, but I'd like to just read that frickin' thing and, you know, kind of give you a summary of whole aspects of symbology. I mean, again, it's just a time factor. There is no end to the ideas. And I would say the next 10 outlines are in some sort of shape, either completely ready to record, just about to, okay, I want to look for one or two more sources and they're just about there. But yeah, we've just been so busy with everything else. What can I say other than there will be another episode? The guaranteed fact is there will be another episode. People are finding the show still. I go on to other shows and talk alchemy. I love to talk alchemy, obviously. In Nuremberg, I gave my first lecture at an actual school, at a pharmacy school, to like 17-plus-year-olds in German. That was the first time I really talked about alchemy in German, and I had to look up a couple of things.
Well, Trevor, I'll tell you, you brought up the road trip. We've taken these shows on the road, and several of the shows on the road in the past year or so. One in particular, I actually flew up to Stockholm, Sweden last year, and went to the library there, the Stockholm City Library, to look at some of the what they would call the war booty that was taken from Prague in the 1600s during the last bit of the 30 Years' War.
Yep.
And when the Swedes came to invade Prague and Bohemia. And the stuff that they took, I actually got to hold in my hand with those special little gloves, by the way. Texts that were taken by the Swedish army that belonged to, as they say, some of the biggest houses and wealthiest people, the Rosenberg family, possibly even books from Prague Castle that might have been in Rudolf II's personal mm-hmm. library. I got to hold these books, and I asked the curator, who was just amazing to allow me to see some of this stuff. I said, what was the thing you would have to say was the most important stolen artifact? And he says, okay, well, first of all, it's not stolen. It was acquired. it was acquired by the Swedish army in all rights because they were the victors of that moment.
You're like, it's legal, like, war booty. What? Yeah. Like, wow.
It's still a conversation had in the 21st century.
A little
by the
bit
way.
Defensive there. Yeah.
Yeah. But he has a point. I mean, there's those questions are still talked about. But he said the main thing was they needed to get their hands on the indexes of these books and the indexes of books that dealt with horticulture. I said, really? Horticulture? You know, we're talking the study of plants? Mm-hmm. And he said, because no one ever did it before. And so the Bohemians had these books that they acquired sometimes out of war booty as well from them. And these indexes would be able to be cross-referenced and kind of reverse engineered later on.
I'm learning about a couple of those things. I mean, we've talked about the Voynich manuscript, which has not even been deciphered, but there are herbs and stuff in there, just in a secret made up language that's might just be gibberish. Like, it's just so, we've talked about that.
And so some of these things, Christina of Sweden, by the way, if you don't know who she is, you should figure that out quickly. She was amazing. She was very much involved in alchemy. And if you go into the Stockholm Castle, the Swedish castle there, you'll see in the armory that they have a special area that they recreated what her study was like that dealt with alchemy.
Okay.
There's Olympics in the
background.
It was really, really cool.
I just saw her sword in Wittenberg because of her role in the 30 Years' War and the Protestant versus Catholic thing. Because remember, her dad was a big hero in the 30 Years' War. She converted to Catholicism, a big Protestant hero. She converted to Catholicism and was into like the mystic, including things like alchemy. And endlessly fascinating. Yeah. Christina
and buried
of Sweden,
in Vatican,
by the
way. And St. Peter's.
Yes.
She's buried in St. Peter's. Right. So, but the
Rome.
Thing about that is that her start to this came from a lot of this war booty of the this open society of that allowed alchemy in Prague, that those texts that were stolen or taken kind of helped feed mm-hmm. feed that kind of interest that she
it's
had.
Exactly, so, the right time period. Yep.
All connected. So that was one trip I think that was great for the Bohemian podcast. For the history of Germany, what was great when you flew here to Czech Republic, Travis, in November, and we drove out to Nuremberg for your presentation. We want to thank all the people that the listeners in Germany that came, that drove for hours to come see you give your presentation in German, to do a live podcast, basically. That was great. I was running the camera since I basically only understood maybe three words in German.
that was a little bit touching as far as like thanks to, I think some people live in town like Ulrich and but some people came from really far. I don't remember, like there's Paul and Theo who've I've read one of his emails before. And he sent us a picture. He was wearing the Americana for Euch shirt. Really came from a couple of hours away, which I thought was very touching, frankly. I was like, I wouldn't drive that far for me, but hey. And Judit came out for the weekend. In fact, I think now's about the right time to introduce Judit, poor girl, because she came out. We were going to hang out. We were going to shoot a video for Germany, and we went on an astronomy tour and all that. But then she just kind of, because she was there and just like slumming it in a hotel the way we were, I was like, well, let's just hang out let's introduce Judit real quick.
Yeah, let's bring her in.
And if you've been listening to the history of Germany, you know who she is, right?
It's me.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. And what else? Because in the English speaking world, people probably don't know you that well. What was your favorite Judit in Nuremberg memory, Pete?
Good question. I would probably say that
the third time we almost got kicked out of the hotel bar.
Yeah, I think it all centered around the hotel bar. That was the best part, to get to know everybody.
The old ladies yelling at us for not playing the piano.
There's nothing worse than two German old ladies yelling at you. I think that was my new low.
That was
at the bar.
Unfortunately, I'm very familiar with that scenario growing up in Munich. What can I say? Yeah. It's like, here's an old lady walking towards me. Here we come. Here we go.
Here we go.
Können Sie nicht ein bisschen leiser? I'm like, I don't even. Okay. Sorry. I was walking.
Sorry.
I was walking too loudly. Anyways.
Yeah. No, that was a good trip. We get to do, very rarely do we get to hang out in person.
They don't let me out in public much, as you can well imagine.
So it was good. I think it was a good trip. We did, we talked about this before, Trav. That was an exhausting trip because we had done so much in Czech Republic before we drove out to Nuremberg. And so that was, I think, 10 days of insanity of podcasting and planning, and then the stage performance you did. And it was just a lot of stuff. It was great, though.
I got to Berlin, I just collapsed. Yeah, I was just done. I didn't even see anybody in Berlin. I mean, I was just so stay tuned to History of Germany podcast, because we have a lot more in the works. We're trying to keep it bi-weekly, twice a month-ish kind of thing. Every 2-3 weeks we'll have an episode out, and we're doing pretty good so far. We have scripts written and we're ready to roll. And Judit just adds a whole nother layer of authenticity. She's always telling me about some medieval stuff that I didn't know, and even fixing my pronunciation and telling me I'm using the wrong word and the wrong dynasty and all that good stuff. So the show is a lot better.
I try not to.
The show's a lot better with you there, for sure. And, besides the heirloom episodes that we'll kind of take outside of the chronological episode, like we'll talk about Neuschwanstein, which was built in the 19th century, and we'll talk about Oktoberfest from the 18th century. But the main chronological episodes were kind of marching towards Barbarossa and the Crusades and
the Staufer,
that dynasty. Yeah,
Course,
1100s, 1200s.
An episode about Yiddish, which Travis is talking about it.
I'm really excited about that. I'm trying not to say anything about that. I've read a whole book for it. I have my own experiences with Yiddish, and yeah, that's all. It's written. It's ready to roll. That'll be soon. Stay tuned. And otherwise, because Pete's in Prague and Judit is in, she's in Ingolstadt, which is not that far from Prague for us. I mean, relatively speaking. And she goes to a lot of events. So, if you do happen to be in Germany and you're part of the podcasting community and you're hearing about Judit for the first time, stay tuned, stay in the loop. We'll both tweet stuff out from Germany at Germany Podcast, at Podcastnik. But you can also follow Judit at @meet_Judit on Twitter.
Yes.
And she's not on Facebook much, but she's on Twitter. She's on Germans are on Twitter a lot.
Yeah, she's on Twitter, and you can meet me at the PodCamp in Essen. It's
like very soon, 2 weeks.
Yeah,
next week?
It's 10th, 11th of March. And you can meet me, and I hope you too, Travis, at the Podstock. This is it's a podcamp. It's a bar camp for podcasting people and podcast listeners. It takes place in August.
It's like in the middle of Germany, in the middle of the woods, surrounded by great people. If you do happen to be there, if you're planning your summer vacation around then, it's not that far from, like, I don't know, Kassel.
It's Hanover,
Hanover,
Hanover. Okay.
Yeah. And Judith just came back from the preparation. Like, they went there and tested, like, can you get there by train? You know, how are the rooms? How is this and that? And there's a bunch of pictures on Twitter over the weekend and all that good stuff. So, and we're all better off for it. She's saving the whole shebang, the whole company. Judith is our hero. So, meet Judith. But yeah, so that besides, of course, Judith didn't really want to come with us for everything in Nuremberg. We did see some things on our own, which was like the actual building where they had the Nazi trials after World War II. The big party. In fact, we were basically I don't think we should say that. I'm really debating in my head. Should I say this? We lived in the Nazi Ramada. So there's two Ramada inns in Nuremberg. God, I should probably edit that, but I don't think I'm going to. So the park Ramada is actually, like, really, it's too close to the biggest. If you look at the old propaganda videos of the Nazi party, those are shot in Nuremberg because they had it's 1 kilometer long. So it's over, you know, it's like part of the old zoo. They made it into a big parade ground for Nazis to march up and down with tanks and everything and airplanes flying overhead. There was a stadium where Hitler would give his speeches. The biggest building of Nazi Germany, period. Pete and I toured as part of that thing. And we walked up the old, it's just surreal, you know, because all along everywhere, there's like old black and white photos of, like, oh, Hitler was here. Hitler stood there. Here's Himmler, Goering, both in the trial. The courtroom is not at all changed. It is exactly the way that we all know it from documentaries and movies and all that stuff. And it was just kind of like, oh my God, I'm in this room. Like, you know, every corner of it, you know, it inside and out. And then you walk in, you're like, oh wow. Yep. I'm here. Oh shoot.
And Travis, let me interject for a second here, because I want to make sure something's very clear. At no point at the Nuremberg trial location or at the fairgrounds where they did these big Nazi sort of deals and the museum that was there, which was really overwhelming, did you ever feel there was any kind of glorification of the Third Reich?
As a matter of fact,
the Germans did a wonderful – the Nuremberg folks did a wonderful job of making sure that it was very educational, of seeing what that type of nationalist fascism that was coming through at the time, and how it happened so fast as an educational tool so it doesn't happen again. They did just an amazing job with it. It doesn't mean that you felt awesome during the course of the day walking around and seeing this, but it really gave you a historical perspective.
Yeah. I was just like, Pete, really? Yeah. Do we have to go back to the – I mean, it's a bummer.
It's
sure.
Heavy. It's a bummer.
Yeah, but of course, you know, of course we had to see it.
And
it is
one job of showing how it all happened, because I think it was extremely important not only for the German people to see it, but for the rest of the world, because it could have happened anywhere under those right conditions.
Yep. It was very insightful, because then I just happened to just laugh. In fact, I was just on the Second World War podcast. That's Steve Bedard, not World War II podcast with Ray Harris. And so it kind of came in handy, because he was asking me, you know, since World War I, how did they slip back into, you know, how did this happen? And what? And I mean, that's obviously not. That's not an easy answer, or could I even do it justice in a 1 hour interview? But I made that very clear. I was like, okay, well, there's these and these factors, but some of those I kind of, you know, were brought back to mind when we were in Nuremberg. So I was like, oh yeah, geez. I mean, it just, this was this whole ambiance of kind of right wingedness and fear of the future and fear of a lack of economy and fear of foreigners and, you know, racist judges that, you know, and all just this combination of, things that allowed it to happen. And Yeah, that's really not fun. The other thing is of course, like you said, they made a really good point to show the horrors of World War II and the bad side of Nazi Germany. And those Nazi sites are just bedecked, to use a Yiddish word, but are just bedecked with Holocaust memorials. Like, you walk in and you'll see something in Hebrew and a statue, and in the middle there's a, you know, train rails, you know, just symbolically signifying this and that, and people's names written down. And
part of the fairgrounds were actually a German prisoner of war camp before they were sent out too. So there is those actual
it was
connection.
Right on the it was right on those railroads.
Logistics but on top of that, though, we did take a lot of the World War II experiences when we were there in Nuremberg. But some of the coolest things we did, we had to turn back the clock a couple hundred years before that, and we took this great tour of the things that put Nuremberg on the map at the same time that Prague was rising during the Holy Roman Empire that was in Bohemia. Nuremberg was, if you consider it, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, then you can consider the bank of what is it, Travis? The bank that operates
the Iron
everything.
Bank, the Iron Bank.
The Iron Bank.
Yeah. That's the Nuremberg. Iron Bank
is Nuremberg. Okay.
A little bit of Venice, a little bit of Free Republic merchant thing, kind of sticking it to the emperor.
Absolutely.
Free
the
spirit.
Seat of power was in Rome in some respects, and it was also in Prague. And bits and pieces in Vienna. But the engine that ran everything, that financed everything, was Nuremberg.
It started out being at the crossroads. It was like, you can't get by it. If you're going from like Paris to Prague or north, south, Rome to any place, Rome to Berlin, Rome to Stockholm, you go through Nuremberg. Hence, they sat on something and they... Well, it was really cool. So we mentioned him a bunch. He's like R Mathematicus at R Mathematicus on Twitter. You can just see his website, Tony, T-H, like Thony C dot WordPress.com. T-H-O-N-Y-C dot WordPress.com. That's the Renaissance Mathematicus blog. And I see that his banner, we've been there now. But he gave us a tour and he's amazing. So he was a source. The reason that many of our listeners probably know him is that we've mentioned him a bunch of times on the History of Alchemy. Some of his blog posts are like directly kind of quoted and sourced in our show. And way back when, we sent him a t-shirt of the homunculus and, you know, all that stuff. And he sent us a picture back, like, you know, in Nuremberg in front of the cathedral wearing the shirt and all that stuff. And he's like, if you ever in Nuremberg, we'll give you a tour. That was years ago. And I was like, hey, weird. I'm going to be in Nuremberg. Does that offer still stand? And he was like, yeah, I was just thinking about you. I was just going to, you know, see if you're going to be here in the next couple of years. And so that all kind of worked out. And Judit came along and our good friend, Jeff and Eve, came along. Friend, singular, Jeff and Eve.
That's right. Yeah.
And, and it was just like really, really cool. And Tony, so he's Welsh, I guess, originally, and he gave us a tour in English and all that. And it was just like fascinating. Now don't worry. We don't want to give it all away because we'll do an episode about just that, like kind of, you know, what he told us. And we'll send you over to his blog and have a link and everything. But just how Nuremberg went from a crossroads city to the emperor granted them these rights. So they're not under a lord or a count or a duke. They're right under the emperor. So they're a free city. However, the nobility of the area or the emperor himself did build a castle there because he didn't need to rule them. And so the free folk of the town built a castle right next. So there's a castle on a hill, and it's a hill. It's a mountain. I mean, Pete and I now know, but it's on the top of this mountain. Call it a mountain. Dude, if you're in a wheelchair, it's a mountain. If you're not in a wheelchair, it's a hill. It's a steep hill if you're not in a wheelchair. But it's Mount Everest. If you're at the top of Mount Everest in Nuremberg, it's like a dual castle. It's kind of like if the emperor put on another wing or the nobility, then the people would put on another wing of theirs. And they're like, we have a castle too. And there was this just very prideful it just wasn't very feudalistic at all. It was free trade and they had a free market and you could come in. And so they turned to, you know, there's mines in like Western Bohemia. So they'd get a lot of the, they first they were good at metallurgy, then they were good at sundials, then they were good at, from there it went to like pocket watches. And again, I saw a lot of that stuff, like Martin Luther on his pilgrimage to Rome. He went through Nuremberg, you betcha, and also the map he used. It had a little sundial in the map so he could tell where, what longitude he was at. Yep, made in Nuremberg. So that those Nuremberg connections, kind of a light went off. I was like, oh. And then when I was in Wittenberg and I was like, oh, that little tiny pocket watch that looks amazing with the little saint carved in, that came from Nuremberg, didn't it? Yes, it did. How'd you know that? Because, yeah, Nuremberg is just like that. It was a central hub of like anything timekeeping, and then hence calendars. And then so also astronomy, of course, because of that. And so then also astrology. And, you know, Kepler went through Nuremberg. Tycho Brahe, everybody we mentioned that went through, yeah, Prague. Well, they took the road from Nuremberg, you know. So there's another side of all their stories, which is the Nuremberg part. So, oh, yeah. So, again, if he listens, big shout out and thanks to Tony Christie. And go check out thonyc.wordpress.com. TonyC.wordpress.com. And he's just like brilliant as far as like picking apart kind of what we pride ourselves on, to like make these really complicated history of science, history of maths, history of medicines, things seem simple. Like, and we do oversimplify, I know that. And Tony doesn't oversimplify as much, but he's just brilliant at like breaking things apart and correcting, you know, the BBC or whatever on minor points or major points. And no, Tony's just great. So, and now I can confirm he's a deadhead in person. He is also great. So he gave a great, just riveting tour of Nuremberg. And then we ate at the Market Square, and, you know, he pointed out what to, you know, they're a big gingerbread town, spice bread, whatever. That's another. Yeah. So they have all these little local delicacies. Of course, dude, middle Franconia beer. So we had a lot of good beer that weekend. Yeah. I gave my live show about Johnny Carson, and that was like the next day. It's like, Tony, we got to run because now we got to go meet, or we got to go film another thing with Udit. And, you know, yesterday was the alchemy thing. Tomorrow I'm going to be on stage and talk about Don Rickles and Johnny Carson. And that was totally weird. And I had a video on everything, and then, you know, and then goodbye, Pete. And I headed off to Berlin and Wittenberg. And if you haven't heard the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's 95 thesis, I went up and, you know, got a private tour and all that stuff by the creator of the secret cabinet, no less. It was, that was just a fantastic trip. But as far as, yeah, you said farewell and headed back to Prague after the Nuremberg leg.
I was pretty beat. But, you know, I think that leads us into one thing that I think I feel free to talk about this now, Trav, about the show that we're putting together now that's near and dear to my heart, which is wheelchair accessibility. When you're traveling, there's that kind of that nervousness that you have if you're disabled, traveling overseas, especially for the first time. I like to take that veil of concern off. And the podcast that I'm producing now that will have some kind of connection to history in the sense of historical locations or cultural areas is called Past Access. And the idea of the show is something that's been close to me for many, many years, is to how can I give listeners and people, especially that have disabilities, it's not just for those folks, but even those, the folks that they care about people with disabilities, what can I do to help them see the world the way I see it now, as a much more amazing place and a smaller feel to it? Because once you travel, it opens your eyes to so many things. Not only what you see and the people that you meet, but more so about who you are and what your abilities can be. So the show is going to be an amazing sort of way for you to travel with me to some of the greatest cities in Europe and around the world. And I've already been doing this for the past year or so. When people ask me, well, you know, how are you doing the podcast, the Bohemian podcast, and working and being a dad, and I'm like, yeah, I'm also traveling. So when I go to Stockholm, when I go to Amsterdam, Paris is coming up. When I go back to the United States and tour some of the historical locations there, I take a microphone with me, interview taxi drivers, interview museum docents, you name it. I talk to people on the street. When I was in Rome last year, I would go to the Colosseum, and I found the best way for a wheelchair to get in. So you don't have to figure that yourself. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you don't have a disability, the show should be a great show for you in the sense that it's going to have a lot of historical anecdotes and information about what we're seeing. As a matter of fact, we even have another reporter that's a paraplegic that is right now in Morocco. That if you can't imagine being in a wheelchair and going to Morocco, she's there right now reporting for us. So when this show does debut, we're going to have a bunch of cities and battlefields and other cultural locations mentioned that I think that you'll be very entertained. And hopefully those of you that have disabilities like me will be inspired to follow in my wheel steps. I can't say footsteps.
Wheel steps. My wheel tracks.
My wheel tracks.
Wheel
steps?
Yeah, I am, out of all the things in the pipeline, this is the thing I'm most excited about by a mile. Like, past access will be amazing. And I'll tell you guys, what Pete didn't just say is, well, why even Pete? And I know we don't bring this up all the time, or we haven't really, you know, it doesn't come up all the time on the podcast, but yeah, Pete's in a wheelchair, and he's been in a wheelchair since he was 11 or so. And still it's like, okay, well, that's great. You know, I've been in wound for my whole life. Well, you know, the thing is that Pete's also, he didn't just stay at home. He was in the US like Paralympics team. He's like, and just in your fencing days. Okay. How many countries did you, 30, 40? That's a rhetorical question. Doesn't matter, but he's been to from like Beijing to Charles de Gaulle. You probably know inside and out. Like, if there is somebody to ask about the Charles de Gaulle airport in Paris, it's probably Pete and how they've changed throughout the years, you know, from when the 90s and aughts to how they are now. And Pete's your guy. And now he's been living overseas for many years and really knows on a daily basis the differences. Yeah, cool. You commute every day, you know, with a car. Well, welcome to the tram system. And, you know, where your whole life just makes no sense the way you do things. And, you know, there's a little bit of an adaption and all that. So it's not just travel, but it's also day to day stuff. And there's, you know, maybe Pete's a little too humble to kind of say this, but I just don't think there's that many people out there that do have the insight the way he does, as far as getting out of your comfort zone and just like dealing with crap, being pulled out by firemen at these reenactments, and probably, honestly, dude, I'm gonna say it, doing things you shouldn't do in a wheelchair. and so it's not like, you know, so you're just gonna get somebody that's like takes a couple of risks and probably does some stupid things like, oh, well, I got out here by train, but well, now I'm in the middle of a field 30 kilometers from Lair, or by bus, you know, and I don't see anybody. That's, you know, there's gonna be those things too. Yeah, and so you won't avoid those mistakes. We'll tell you who to call. I think you're almost underestimating what this show is and will be and could be, because I just think it's so, like, for me, out of all the things we've done, it's like I would definitely be interested in hearing a little bit more about that and kind of being more aware of like what and, you know, go ahead and shame some cities if you're just like, dude, I can't even I can't even get off the sidewalk in Karakesh. You know, we can tell you know, your friend that, you know, yeah, just shame a city if they're just not accessible. But I think it's really encouraging to know that this is, Americans don't travel, and whether disabled or not, Americans are not among the travelers of the world at all. It's a very low percentage of Americans that have a passport, and it's just kind of to see us do it. And I'm borderline, like, I'm surprised I'm not homeless or in jail, or I don't know. I'm borderline functioning in society. Okay. And I've been to like Moldova, like I should be in a Soviet prison right now in a Transnistrian, you know, I don't even know what I'm doing here in Santa Clara. It's just crazy. So the fact that we've done some things and, you know, Pete's survived without speaking, you know, just like with his 10 words of Czech and surviving in Germany and hand gestures and everything, you know, it's just kind of like, I think that's pretty encouraging. Like, what if you can walk upstairs and you're not worried about that? Well, you know, if I can do it, you can do it. If I can get to the Ukraine, you can for sure. And if Pete can do some, you know, can find a hotel, you know, in a downtown area and on a budget, it's, you know, Pete's coming from a Czech salary. It's not like he's, you know, just, oh yeah, why don't you carry me up to the Ritz penthouse? No, it's, you know, it's how can we do things reasonably and affordably and realistically? And, you know, what kind of things can you do? And maybe you can't do anything. Maybe you can't do everything, but what can you do? So it's not a waste of money if you go to Florence. And
and that's the thing. I want to make sure that you can maximize your time.
Yeah. You're going to hit some dead ends, but that means your listeners and your viewers won't. And I just think there's value there. I just like, wow, now we're actually creating a service. History of Alchemy is like, huh, that's neat. I love history, but that's a nerdy thing. This is more like, no, this is cool. Like, this is like the Travel Channel will be stupid to not give us a call. You know, it's like, this is just an awesome idea. And there's just nobody that, you know, that could do it better. And we already, along those lines, like we're already making some connections in Germany and Europe, and, you know, trying to see there are like Germans are kind of into it as far as there's apps out there for there's something called Wheel Maps, and there's, you know, the Thuringian travel bureau is trying to create information out there for accessible traveling, like tourism in Thuringia, which is in kind of like East Central Germany. I always get hate mail when I say where something is. It's in Germany. But yeah, so we're making some connections there. So we'll hopefully really get the inside scoop. And Pete does an amazing job of, I can't emphasize that enough either, of just like shoving a microphone in somebody's face and asking a question.
That's the best part.
Like, I don't have that much gumption. And it's like, are you going to tell a guy in a wheelchair no? No, like everybody gives Pete the time of day. And, you know, and when we were at the courthouse, we were like, you know, where are you guys coming from? And, you know, what did you think? And, you know, they really wanted to know how us as Americans feel about, you know, this Nazi thing in Nuremberg. And it was just like, yeah, like, I think we're going to get an amazing insight into all kinds of aspects of the cities that Pete goes to. So stay tuned for that. And that, I think that's probably the next show to launch. So, yeah.
I that's the next one that's going to come out probably. I think one little sneak peek was when I was in Amsterdam, that you're going to get a tour route that's going to be pretty exhausting, but you can do it in 1 or 2 days. I did it in 1 day, but I was really hoofing it. You'll hear the bikes go by me and ring their bells because I'm almost killed by a bike. I've actually interviewed Vincent van Gogh, you know, at his museum. Of course, we know he's dead. So I found a guy that I gave a script to, and we talked to him. Nice. I brought resurrected Vincent van Gogh, and then I'll take you on the only accessible canal tour boat that is there in Amsterdam.
And of course, Pete was taking notes of which coffee shops are accessible and which not.
I kind of missed those on this trip. I needed to be clear minded. What do you mean you don't sell coffee?
That, you know, you just disappointed like 95%. You're like, and in Amsterdam, I'll tell you, and they're all waiting for it. And then, no, sorry, I don't do that. And you just like, you're like, well, you just disappointed so many people.
I was really upset about not finding a real coffee shop. I needed coffee.
You're like, this is not a coffee shop, you guys. I'm drinking your tea, and I'm just making me more sleepy.
You know, I'll tell you what not to do in the red light district, you know, so those are things that you need to know
on a Tuesday.
But those are kind of the things that you're going to see on the show. When we do battlefield tours of World War One, I went to Passchendaele, we'll talk about the horrificness of those battles. Well, Gettysburg in Pennsylvania, you know, Manassas in Virginia during the Civil War. I've been in many, many places with this show on my mind for the past several years. And now it's time to release it to the world. So hopefully you guys will like Past Access as much as the History of Alchemy, as much as the History of Germany, as much as Bohemian Podcast. And you'll give us your listen. You know, that would be what we would really like. So good things happening, Trav.
Good things happening. I think people are overwhelmed right now, because I know I am, just generally with life. But I would say, the main takeaway is just now and then swing by podcastnik.com, and we'll just, you know, we'll keep everything linked, and we'll try to do a little better. Maybe now is the right time to say that I think that the next level, the next step for our listener interaction, and like, there's just so many benefits to doing this, and we're writing all the time. We write outlines, we write scripts, and then, you know, we try to keep a blog going now and then. We try to, on Americana, every 10th episode, I was just saying, like, what I'm doing, like, giving an update, because I live in the States, and so for Germans, there was a German show. for Germans, like, well, it might be kind of interesting, you know, Silicon Valley in December. I don't know. So I was just like, oh, I saw some redwoods. I saw some big trees. I saw some, you know, we went to Yosemite, whatever. Saw the beach. But just basically making Germans angry now that I think about it, of jealousy. But they actually really loved that. That was like my highest downloaded shows for Americana, which at first I was kind of insulted, but then it was like, actually, that's kind of neat because they want to hear about me more than my topics. Like, okay, that's cute. That's touching. But I thought, yeah, actually we do so much. For those fans that kind of reach across one show or don't, you know, keep up to date with the podcasts, we definitely want to create a newsletter, and we're going to start putting up forms everywhere, like annoy you with forms of like sign up for our newsletter kind of thing. And I don't even have the email address yet. But we definitely want to like let you know on a non-spam basis. We're not going to just spam you with stuff, but it'll be a blog article about what we're doing. It'll be stuff. It'll be exclusive content, sometimes like certain articles that don't make it into shows. And, we'll have guest articles by other podcasters and this and that. Like we have a whole list of, again, hundreds of ideas of articles we want to put into this newsletter. And so we'd ask you, cause I don't have that all set up yet, but we're at the cusp. And, so we'd ask you to swing by podcastnik.com. Sign up for the newsletter if you want to hear from Pete and myself. And it really will be, we're not hiring ghostwriters. It's us writing it. It's Pete, myself, Judit, and you know, we'll sign the article at the bottom and we'll let you know. We want to hear from Imad. So this is a way for Imad to like write, you know, interviewing him is tough. English is not his native language and he doesn't have that much experience. His English is great, but it's, you know, he's a little nervous on camera. But yeah, we'll, you know, help him edit up a good article and we can have, you know, news from Cairo coming our way, news from Bavaria, news from Prague, news from Silicon Valley, and you know what we're doing. You know, how do we deal with all the like? I gave three interviews this week. So how do I record? You know, I had to prepare for those. So how did I like? I'm recording four episodes this week. Like that's to kind of give you guys an idea of how busy we are. And if that's shocking to you, well then sign up to the newsletter so you know what's going on. If you're just like looking at us like, hey, there hasn't been a Bohemian in 4 months, and there hasn't been an Alchemy in like 10 months. I'm telling you, we produce an episode every 3 to 4 days on average. So sign up for the newsletter. Take another look at podcastlink.com. Keep in touch. You know, we got Facebook groups. We're on Twitter all over the place, at Travis J. Dow, at Bohemican, at meet_Judit, like we said before, at Alchemy Podcast, at Germany Podcast, at Podcastnik. You get all the news too. We'll definitely retweet everything from everywhere. So if you do care about us as a brand, if you care about like what are Pete and Travis up to these days, how is their company doing? Yes, we founded a company. Yes, it's struggling mightily. Yes, it might not exist in 2 years if you guys don't help out. But you know, if you guys do care about like what we're doing and what's coming down the pipeline, then you know, hey, we care about you. We do all this for you for free. Come on, man.
That's a guilt run right there.
we love you, man. Why is my inbox so empty?
And we do need to drop one more bit of item here too. That
the embroidered Bohemian hat. I know it's so cool. It's only like $20 too. Maybe twenty-five. An embroidered Gollum hat. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that not what you were gonna? Oh, I'm sorry.
That wasn't what I was going for, but yeah.
My bad. goblet with the wolf on it.
We do want to mention that we're part of the Agora Podcast Network as well. So if you were able to take a listen to Agora, a lot of great shows there that a lot of our podcast buddies are putting wonderful content out there for you to listen to. Not just our shows, but plenty of other ones too. So we do want to mention Agora. Because we're part of the Agora family, and you do yourself a disservice not to listen to them. We get a lot of feedback from you all, and we want to have that continue, and we want to keep producing the stuff that you like to listen to and we like to talk about. So hopefully you'll be with us when our new endeavors that we have coming out, like we talked about. Travis has got a boatload of shows. I've got a couple coming out too. We'll continue with History of Alchemy. We'll continue with the Bohemian Podcast.
Five more years. Five more years.
Yeah, so all this is going great. And we just want to thank you. So for Travis Dow in Santa Clara, California, I'm Pete Coleman from Prague saying good night. Take care.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.